Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're all with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Oh, excuse me. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, we started off last week, Monday, shaking the Monday morning blues, and we talked about our Mayor Eric S. being, quote unquote, shot. Excuse me. The fact to find our state of New York City, or our city, New York City, in poor condition, especially the subway system. Yes, he claims that after he started and got into the office in January, about 3-4 weeks in, he looked and saw that this city had a shell over it. That was beautiful. However, it was ugly inside. Well, my question was, well, where you been? How could you possibly run for a city that you had no condition was so bad? How could that happen? I don't know. I don't know, because for those of us who live here, who was raised here, well, we're accustomed to this, and it's no shock to us at all. How in the world could you possibly not know what this looked like when you were campaigning all that time? How? Were you living in, but see, this is what I was wondering. Was he actually living someplace else and he pretended like he knew what was going on? Oh, excuse me. I wonder. Because how in the world could he have possibly known or not know what was going on in New York City? So he shows a picture of him riding the train with his detail and his little jacket and Eric Adams mayor jacket on and his baseball cap and all of this. And I'm trying to figure out, well, where in the world were you going? Yeah, you look like somebody protected, so you really didn't do your job going out here and finding out what it's really like. So that's how we spent that Monday morning. And before we close our Monday morning down, the switch tip. Let God tell you who you are. Now, you know, that has a mind and an angle of its own. And You know, we always set out to do and be one thing, but please do not waste your time. Please do not waste your time trying to do it on your own. Make life easier for yourself and let God tell you who you are. You know, he is the creator. He is the master. And you want to make sure that you follow the master's plan, okay? Well, that's how we spent our Monday. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. Rolled around. And we talked about the couple. Yeah, the couple. The sisters, potential sisters, who have been dating for a year only to find out that mom, both their mothers, had relations with the same man. And now they're trying to figure out, are they truly sisters? Well, they took on TikTok, and the listeners and the viewers of TikTok, to ask them, should they get a DNA test? Well, I don't know. Why would you need to ask a question like that? Well, they do. And they got their answer. Absolutely. You want to know whether your sisters or not. I mean, even if you weren't dating, don't you want to know your family? Especially people who could be as close to you as your sister and your brother. Yes. Well, we converted that into our church folk question. And what goes on in our world that the writing is on the wall, and you just can't see the forest for the trees? And it took off in a wonderful, wonderful direction. And I'm going to send you back to go and listen to our conversation on Tuesday, okay? All right. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and we started off with our girlfriend Vivian, and we're talking about Juneteenth occurrence where Dante Jones was found dead in the park, and it appeared as though it was a suicide. Now, here's the thing. That's the way they wanted it to appear, it looks like, to the family, who refuses to believe that their family member committed suicide. Now, he actually was found hanging and in a neighborhood that is predominantly on the other side of the fence. So they're thinking that maybe to send a Juneteenth message that he was not in the position to hang himself. That's all they keep saying. That's what they believe. Okay. So we're keeping that family looking in prayer that they will find, you know, the truth and, you know, what really happened to their family member. Well, the ladies were in the house, and we took on the Roe versus Wade turnout, and I asked the question, was it in God's plan? You know, did he allow it to give us a ministry opportunity? Something that we have to think about. You know, when God allows these things to happen, you know, we clearly see it as an injustice. We clearly see that, you know, it was something that should not have happened. And, excuse me, you know, what do we do with these opportunities? Do we find new people to talk to? Because we had a new conversation, a conversation that really everybody cares about one way or another. Yeah, some people were okay with it. Some people weren't. But is this an opportunity to now share the ministry of God? Something that you need to talk to God about, because according to us, absolutely. And there are many, many, many ways you can share God, even in the wake of that overturn. Okay? All right. Well, we closed out our Wednesday with Pastor Charlotte and her Faith Over Fear segment. And we went out with a bang, as always. Well, Thursday rolled around, and it was ripped from the headlines week. And oh my, oh my, oh my, you know how it goes down over here with the weirdest stories that you could possibly think of that come from our news. Yes. Well, one of the big stories was, you know, the two divorced, you know, the divorced couple who had a son. And while they were married, not only did they have a son together, but then he stepped out on the marriage and he made another child. Well, that was, excuse me, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. So they are no longer together, but they do share the raising of this child. And now she wants to take her child, her son, to Disney World. And the little boy actually spends time with his half-brother, who also spends time in their home. Yes, in the home of the wife. That wasn't good enough. But Dad had the audacity to expect for Mom to take not only their shared child, but the half-brother to their son to Disney. Yes. Yeah, oh, yes, he did. Boy, do they have nerve or what? Yes. He felt that, you know, since they were brothers and they were close, that she should take him on the trip to Disney. Excuse me. Well, the new time crew wasn't hearing that one. Nah, Christian at all. That's a whole lot to swallow. I'm going to have your love child in my possession. I'm taking care of the love child. Now, listen, stranger things have happened. So we're not saying it's impossible, but we are saying that it's a lot for you to make the request. Now, if God put it on her heart to actually, you know, make that kind of move or show that kind of love or, you know, look at her son and go, you know what, well, you may need a play date while we're in Disney. You know, I'm not your age and I may not necessarily ride your rides and, you know, you may want some little company. Then let her feel that way. Let her think that way. Well, who were you? You wouldn't made that love, child. No, brother, you on your own. Now, she did say that if you took a plane with him, you could meet us there, and we might have a play date with the boys. But other than that, you might as well call that act. That ain't happening. So that's just one of the crazy stories from the headlines. You know how we get down. All the stories are absolutely out of this world. Like, where do these people even come from? That's the kind of rip from the headline story to me. Yeah, other than that, good one. Well, Freestyle Friday rolled around. And you know we had to talk to the men about the 30-year sentence of Mr. R. Kelly. Yes, we did. And quite a bit came from that conversation. Yes, it did. Oh, we talked about just the 30-year sentence in and of, you know, in and of itself. We talked about the fact that they've pulled his music and how does the public feel about it? And we talked about the fact that while he was in jail, another inmate put him on the phone to sing to his teenage daughter. Now, ain't he in there for the teenage girls? I tell you, you know, where do you draw the line? Well, clearly, some of us don't draw the line. So we had a wonderful conversation with our men to send us straight into the weekend. And we had a good week. We had a good week, as always, over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. And I am so happy that we had a little break. Yes, it was the 4th of July weekend, so there was no prayer on Sunday. And yesterday was the 4th of July. And, you know, I decided since the due time, who didn't have to get up, you know, to do their regular regimen, then give them a little rest. So I missed you all. Oh, I sure did. But here we are. God spared our life. We're back together again. And it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, and we do have some stuff to talk about. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Nearly 3.5 million Americans have hepatitis C, yet more than half don't even know it. Hepatitis C can be transmitted in many ways. It's a leading cause of liver cancer, but the virus often begins damaging the liver before any symptoms appear. That's why it's so important to get tested.
Know your personal risk for hepatitis C. And if you've already been diagnosed, get the facts. Visit HepCInfo.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. So happy to have you back with me after an extended weekend. Yes, we just got finished covering the July 4th celebration. And is it me, or were they going buck wild with the loudest fireworks ever last night? Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But thank God we got through it. I managed to get to bed just a little bit earlier because of that. And I'm happy to be here with you this morning. What about you? How did you celebrate? I had no burgers. I had no hot dogs. I had no nothing. There was nothing on the grill. But we did eat. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So what are we talking about today? Well, I came across this list, and we did something like this before, but not this. So I want to go over this list. I looked at the first thing and I was like, oh yeah, we need to cover this because I didn't even know about the first one. Well, this morning, foods you didn't know you should store in the fridge. Okay? Now, we did this a while ago where, you know, we are the things, excuse me, that we normally keep in the fridge, we learned that you didn't have to keep in the fridge. Well, this list is a short list, but, and I don't know what's on the list. Like I said, I just looked at the first thing, and I realized I didn't know that one. So guess what? Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you do know it, but I want to cover it anyway. Foods you didn't know you should store in the fridge. Well, number one, nuts and nut butter. Yes. Natural nut butters, okay? And, you know, generally, we all leave our nuts on the counter. Yeah, you know, we don't store those in the refrigerator. Who wants to eat cold nuts? No, we don't. But they say if you want them to last, it's better to keep them in the refrigerator. They say the oils in nuts can go rancid over time, and storing them in the refrigerator will help prevent that. They say you can still store nuts on your countertop for a couple of months, but if you have any that you want to save longer, put them in the refrigerator. They say if you feel like the nuts are going stale, they say toast them for a few minutes. Wow. And they'll be snacky, snacky, snacky worthy again. Okay. Now, here's the other thing that I find interesting. They say that organic peanut butter and nut butters should be kept in the refrigerator after you open up the jar. Now, regular peanut butter, no. But the natural peanut butter, the organic peanut butter, and I know I bought some apple butter, and when I looked on the jar, it did say that you need to keep them in the refrigerator once you pop open the jar. So make sure you get that in the refrigerator as soon as you can, okay? Number two, whole grain and whole wheat flours. So they say flour, of course, we keep in the pantry, and especially our all-purpose flour. And they say, but, our whole grain, our whole wheat flours should definitely be kept in the refrigerator. They say because it includes components that need to be kept cold. Okay? And they say that bran should be kept in the refrigerator too. Now I don't know about buying regular bran and things like that, but they say also if you want those unwanted pests out of your flour, make sure you keep it in the refrigerator. And it's true because I've seen, you know, we have to take really good care of our flour because we have had, you know, we open it up. Thank God that the flour is pure white and the bugs are not, because you definitely get to see that when you open up your flour. Yes. And flour cannot be kept really, really long. It is not sugar. You don't want to keep flour around your house, especially with weather changing and things like that. So they say all-purpose flour is usually made with just endosperm, which doesn't have as much oil, but the other components that are in whole wheat flour and whole grain flour, they do have those components that you need, that like oil, some type of oil, that you really need to keep that in the refrigerator, okay? So even, I know they use like whole wheat flour and things like that for baking, whole grain flour for baking a lot. Make sure you keep that in the refrigerator. All right, this one here, I did not pay attention. And you know what? This kind of brings back to my memory. But the second one just definitely is a no-no. I don't know anything about that. They say ketchup and soy sauce. Now, I have to tell you, I can't stand cold ketchup. How do you put cold ketchup on your hot burger and enjoy it is beyond me. But they say Heinz has stated that its ketchup is shelf-stable due to its natural acidity. However, they also added that consumers should still refrigerate their ketchup after opening. They say because once your ketchup is open, it's easier for the product to deteriorate over time, especially after a month at room temperature. And if you make homemade ketchup, now I don't know who's got time for this, but if you make homemade ketchup, they say definitely that should be kept in the refrigerator. Soy sauce is a similar case. They say it's unlikely to spoil if it's in your cupboard because of the high sodium content, but they say it loses flavor over time if not stored in the refrigerator. So, I guess I gotta eat cold ketchup and cold soy sauce. Ah, who does that? But listen, we got to think about our health, right? Right. Sweet corn. Oh, my. They say for the best flavor, you should cook and eat sweet corn right after it's been picked. But you know how it goes down. We don't pick our own corn. They say if you wind up with extra ears of corn or when you buy corn, let's just put it like that, They say don't leave it out on the countertop like most fruits and vegetables. They say because unless you preserve it, sweet corn starts to lose its flavor after harvesting. Storing it in the refrigerator with the husks will help it last longer and keep its sweet taste. Okay? All right. Number five, flour tortillas. Yes. After opening a bag of flour tortillas, you should keep leftovers in the refrigerator. They say your extra tortillas won't go bad immediately if you leave them on the counter, but they'll dry out sooner than if you kept them in the refrigerator. They say keeping our flour tortillas in the refrigerator will also extend their shelf life by as much as a few weeks, and your tortillas will be great for tacos. Okay? So thank God none of these things, if we don't keep them in the refrigerator, will make us ill, but it will keep the components, you know, strong. It will help us to remain healthy. So with our bodies already breaking down, you know, I had to remind somebody the other day, I'm like, we've always had these same bodies. Yeah, so I don't know why some people get surprised when, you know, we can't do certain things anymore, or when our bodies are going bad in certain areas. You've been walking on these same 2 feet since what? Since you were 2? Can you imagine that? The same 2 feet you've been walking on since you were 2 years. The same 2 feet. You've been working with these same 2 hands. You've been working with these same 2 ears. This same mouth, this one nose, these same 2 eyes. Can you imagine? God is amazing. 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 You send same 10 fingers. I think about piano, violin, typing. I think about all the stuff I did with these 10 little fingers. And they're still moving. They don't move as well as they used to. But in the light of, you know, and when you think about it, at 55, these kids, can I really complain that I have arthritis when I never wore gloves young when I was younger? It could be 0 degrees outside. My hands will never get cold. Now, oh, I'm feeling it. So I said all of that to say, you know, our bodies are already deteriorating. We may not feel it. We may not see it. But these are the same bodies we had, you know, when mom gave birth to us. And, you know, when we eat, we need to eat, you know, with the thought of preserving our bodies even more, not adding to the breakdown. And that's the diet, you know, that Jesus is really, and God is really pushing now with this due time crew, you know, just bringing all of these things to our attention. You know, let's give God thanks. Let's give God thanks. Okay. Well, what are we talking about today? We're talking about, you know, I was not going to talk about this. I really wasn't, because I was like, everybody's talking about it. There's nothing about this that you know, no one knows. But how can you not talk about this Highland Park shooting that took place yesterday? And why is it that somebody's always got to spoil it? You know, so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time on this, because I know you've heard it, you know, over and over and over again. If you watch the news, if you look on your internet, if you opened up your phone, it was all over yesterday. Like I said, I wasn't going to talk about it today, but I need to. So we have the 6 people who were killed and the 36 who were wounded when this gunman open fired into a crowd who was gathered together for the, you know, the Independence Day parade in Chicago, in Illinois, outside of Chicago. And, you know, it's sad that, you know, they got up early, you know, they got their little mugs and picnic bags and flags and all kinds of things, you know, from early in the morning, you know, because when you go out there, you want to get a good seat. You know, you want to be in the front row, and you want to be able to see, you know, all the participants in the parade, and you know, maybe somebody you know is in the parade, and you're waving, and you want them to see you, and everybody just wants to have a good time. Everybody except for this one gunman. Yo, what is with you? You know, and I just feel so bad because, you know, we just crave to live a normal life. That's all the average person thinks about, you know, when these holidays come around. You know, remember, we've just come out of this pandemic, so the parade may not have taken place last year. And, you know, these are staples in certain communities. You know, you have the Macy's Day Parade here in New York, and, you know, clearly this Highland Park parade, and, you know, everywhere they have their staples, and, you know, people look forward, really, really look forward. And how do you just wake up one day and decide you're just going to kill somebody? How does that even come across your mind? So they say that, as always, he had a high-powered rifle, and he was on top of a commercial building, and he just took fire. No, you know, these were random shootings. So this was a random shooting, if you will, and, you know, six people were killed. Well, listen, if a high rifle bullet from a high rifle gun hits you, you're pretty much dead. You know, very rarely, even if it tore through your leg. We've seen people shot with a regular gun and it hits an artery or something like that. Well, they said up to 36 other people were wounded and taken to a, you know, hospital. And they said that it was really bad. They said when everything was cleared off, they had lawn chairs and strollers and snack bags and all of this kind of stuff just thrown everywhere. This stuff was just everywhere because now, you know, once you start hearing that pop, 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 you know, you just start running. And did everybody move, really? Because with all of the fireworks, I remember Shanti saying last night, she was like, the sad part about it is, with all this boom, 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 but you don't even know if somebody is really shooting or not. Well, he was. And they say the rifle was recovered at the scene. And they, of course, thank God, they found this guy, Robert Cremo III, and he was caught about 5 miles away. And I didn't, you know, I haven't really had a chance to delve into the story, but they say his dad ran for mayor back in 2019. And I know he's glad now he didn't become mayor, because now if his son busts off like this, now this would have been definitely in your backyard. And, you know, they give a breakdown of all of the mass shootings in the U.S., the deadliest ones. And, you know, this didn't sit high. The one with the least amount of killings was the Parkland High School shooting in February of 18, with 17 people dead. So this didn't rank as high as far as murders, thank God. But it wasn't because he wasn't intending it. It wasn't because he didn't intend to. You know, you really plan on doing some damage when you get a high rifle gun. So they have details of some of the victims, and they say there's a Nicholas Toledo who was in his late 70s. There was a teacher at a local synagogue. They have a Mexican national, they say. Oh, this is really sad. They say authorities have not released ages of the dead, but health workers have said the wounded range in age from 8 years old to 85. Everybody just out to have a good time. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know about these people. You know, we just got to keep this world lifted in prayer. We really, really do. Because other than that, we're doomed. Can you imagine? Let's talk about this thing here. Can you imagine if there was no prayer? Can you imagine with all these people who have these prayer pods? Let's call them like that. Everybody who have these prayer pods. If we weren't in pockets, if there were no churches, if there was no Zooms, if there were no Facebook Lives, if there was no YouTube Lives or Instagrams, or where people were getting together to pray, could you imagine where we would be right now? Bad, bad, bad. We would be in worse shape. So we really got to give God thanks that, you know, we are even praying. And we're even praying people, because if not, whoa, where would we be? Where would we be? So, you know, whatever God sends us in prayer, yeah, we need to make sure we get on that thing. So, I got a story that's kind of similar to the one we had, I believe it was last week, and I thought it was interesting that this came up again. So, here you have, let me see where this is. It's in Virginia. Yes, this is in Virginia, and they have this program out there where they have a law back in 2020 that allowed inmates to shave time off their sentences for good behavior. And now they're at war. They're at war because they have this Christopher Ford. They say he was a baby when his father was sentenced to 28 years in prison for participating in a murder-for-hire scheme that led to killing two people at a car dealership. And what happened is he served like 26 of those years now. And now they're looking to give him time off. And they're like, no, you won't. They are not feeling this at all. And they're saying because the Republicans are rallying against this, because they're saying, listen, you need to do your time. We're not giving you no time off because good behavior. What kind of mess is that? So they're saying that it was the Democrats who put this into effect. And now they're trying to take it off the table. And they're saying that it's about 8,000 inmates that they are now on the line for becoming ineligible for this expanded credit that would get them the time off. Now, last week we spoke about these smaller crimes, you know, petty theft and, you know, pickpocketing and shoplifting and, you know, things like that. This is not that. This is not that. They are talking about people with major crimes. It doesn't matter. They don't have, like, you know, groups of people. They have this program starting in 2020 that the Democrats passed because they were in full control of the state government at the time. So they created this tier system that allowed the inmates with good behavior and participation in rehab programs to earn like credits 15 days per month to be taken off their sentences. Now, there's only 30 days in a month. So 15 days a month, they would be working towards the getting off. So now they're saying that it moved from 4.5 days per month. And at that point, very few inmates qualified for that. But when you moved it to 15 days per month, well, of course, you only got 30 days in a month. So how is it that you're going to, you know, you're going to now offer this? And they said to, like I just said a minute ago, they offered this to maximum security people. So they have been working on this, and they said that the effective date would be July of 22, because that's how long it would take for them to calculate all the time that they would be giving off. So they're saying under the 2020 law, violent offenses were not eligible for the expanded credit, but the inmates somehow, they said if they had combined sentence with both a violent conviction and a low tier one, that they would now allow that to be included in the law. So they've been appealing this and appealing this and appealing this, and they have been losing. But now they have gotten an opportunity that that they would, you know, can get off this, get off on this stuff. Now, here's some concern, and I want you to hit me back, 347-285-7777. One of the biggest issues that was raised, and I'm going to tell you something, this has happened. They were saying, all right, yes, you let these rapists off, because 41 rapists are in this group. 41 rapists you're about to let out for good behavior? Well, wait a minute. If they're raping children, women, how is their good behavior? They ain't got no women or children to rape. So how in the world could you possibly let them off for good behavior? That was just a side thought. But they're raising the issue of what happened when these people have not been rehabilitated, and now they're raping people now. So you let them out, and now they immediately go and rape. And can I tell you, it's happened. It happened here in New York. Remember a couple of years ago when they were letting people out early because of the COVID? And some of them within 24 hours, not just the rapists, but just even little petty crimes, they were back at it. They hadn't even been out like a day. So they are really raising hell out here in Virginia. And, you know, this Christopher Ford says that his father is now 62 years old. He's become a Jehovah's Witness from back in 2006. And, you know, he volunteers. You know, to go in the prisons, and he sees the rehabilitation of some of the other people. And his father has been taking agriculture courses, and he's held a job in the prison kitchen for years. And okay, so you may be talking about one person. Well, here's my thing. I'm not trying to hear from your child. Let's talk about this thing for a minute. Would Shantice really say don't let her mother out? Really? You know, Shantice might say it, but who else is going to say it? Already, this man went to jail for killing two people. He was a part of a scheme that went wrong, and two people were killed in a dealership. He was sentenced to 28 years. Now you making a petition that your father's 62, he became a Jehovah's Witness in 2006, and he then they say he also volunteers as a group leader in religious studies in the prison. They say he's taking agriculture courses, and he's been holding down a job in prison for years. Well, the people whose family was murdered are not going to want to hear how he's good in the kitchen, how he's turned his life around and given it to God. And, you know, we're a Christian-based thing, broadcast, so I'm not saying that it couldn't happen. So I'm not talking against it. I'm talking about this is from the family. The family may want to see him do his entire time. And, you know, again, we're not talking about the people we were talking about last week. We're talking about, I couldn't believe I stumbled across this again. And I was like, oh, this is a different story here. So, you know, maybe 26 years, maybe they figure 26 years, he did his time, you know, let him out, considering you bringing up all of this stuff here. But you can't get mad if the people say, let him do his 28 years. So I need to hear what you say. Do you feel that he should get some time off? And people such as him, who have spent almost all of their time, and, you know, whether they're rehabilitated or not. Because, see, this is just this man's argument. This is not everybody's argument. No, it's not everybody's argument. This is just this one's argument. You know, you got 8,000 people potentially ready to hit the street, including 41 rapists. Now, how many of these people can fit this man's, you know, can be compared to him? Listen, if 800 could be compared to him out of 8,000, you still got how many more thousands that you're about to let out? Now, you know what I also just thought about? You're talking about 8,000 people, 8,000 prisoners who you are potentially going to let out for good behavior. How many people y'all got in the prison out there that 8,000 people could be considered? What kind of prison population are we talking about? I just clicked in my head. I'm like, let me look at this thing again. 8,000 people are eligible to be considered. It says a spokesman for the Department of Corrections confirms that about 8,000 inmates will now be ineligible for the expanded credit. So remember, they're talking about if this is pulled off the table, 8,000 people will become ineligible. So I'm like, 8,000 people? Well, no wonder you're including high-level crimes and all of this kind of stuff. Man, I'm telling you, this is crazy. Now, here's the other part. You got four inmates who escaped from federal prison in Virginia. So I guess federal prison wasn't offering this opportunity, so they decided to take this on their own. Yeah, that's the new thing. Four criminals have escaped from prison, from federal prison in a camp in Virginia. So they I guess they figured y'all giving these 8,000, y'all about to take this off the table, so we don't stand a chance, so let's just take this chance for ourselves. Wow. Wow, wow. So you have this other criminal who, he's, again, he could have these random acts of violence. And I'm like, okay, you know, he took a Pop-Tart box top. They say he lit, no, not a box top. He lit a Pop-Tart box and tossed it into a vehicle where someone was sitting and the victim was burned, and then took it around the woman's neck and began to strangle her. He didn't know the woman. Thank God she was able to get free. But that's the way it went down. Just as simple as that. Just as simple as that. She was sitting in the car, and he started an argument with her, and then that's what he did. 30-year-old Joshua Cox, and she suffered burns on her arm and, you know, I guess some marks around her neck, but thank God that she could get away. Thank God she could get away. Can you imagine you sitting in your car minding your business and somebody takes a lit Pop-Tart box and throws it? They just throw it at you. Okay, I want to talk about this one other crazy story here. So, you know, again, we're going to weddings and, you know, we just minding our business. We're going to have a good time. So this one guy gets drunk, is dancing up a storm. And, you know, he's got this, let me see. I want to see what they said he had that started this whole thing. So he's dancing with these sparklers in his hand, and everybody's admiring how great he's dancing, and he can really get down and all of this stuff. Well, honey, that whole thing changed when the sparklers set something on fire, and everybody went to running except for him. So now the place is going up in smoke, and he is still dancing. Yeah, they said he never stopped dancing. Everybody is running. The fiasco is going on, but he continues to dance. And they got this on video, and this is what's happened. You so drunk that you don't even care that there's a fire? I tell you, let me stay home. Let me stay home. Let me stay home. Let me stay home. Because you can't do nothing. The poor little people at the parade, I'm sitting in my car, I'm at a wedding. It's like, yo, you can't do nothing now. The enemy has really fixed it. Well, we're going to be quarantining ourselves in the house. Let me say hello to our due time crew here. Let's talk to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today, my love?
I'm well, thank you. How are you over there?
I won't complain. I'm here. I thank the Lord.
All righty. All right. Okay, well, we hope you feel better. All right, Pastor Charlene.
Thank you.
We're starting off with this mass shooting in Chicago. And, you know, everybody's out to, you know, have a good time. And, you know, thousands of people have gathered together. But you, the lone unhappy camper, are now on the roof of a commercial building, turning up everybody else's life, killing people. You know, is this what we should be expecting going forward? You know, they say that COVID, we're not getting rid of this thing for a long time. And, you know, when we got this new law with the guns, that means that ain't going nowhere for a long time. And we're stuck with COVID because we can't help it. Is it the same with these guns? Are we just kind of playing Russian roulette here? We don't know who's going to bust off, who's going to be shooting, where it's going to be safe. Is that what we have to look forward to now?
Oh, yes, because, you know, every time you go somewhere or hear something, you know, it's like they just blazing whoever in the crowd, or they might just look funny, or, you know, people are really, really going mad with the guns. or just walking up and just beating on people. You know, what's so crazy is, like you said, we've been in COVID for so long. People are so happy. You know, here we go. We're going to go to the parade, and you're not thinking about it. You got kids there. The people, the gunmen, they don't even care who they kill, you know. And you're so busy looking around, you can't even enjoy yourself. And everybody is blending in with each other, so you don't know who's going to do what. You know, and like you were saying, it's time for prayer, prayer, prayer on top of prayer, prayer, prayer on top of prayer, prayer, prayer. I'm like you. I'd rather just stay home.
Yeah. It's like you're getting to the point of it's not being safe anywhere. And, you know, I'm going to come back to ask a question. You know, is again, you know, is this the fate of what we have to face? And this is just—it's just gotten to be a lot. It's like, where do you go from here? Where do you go from here? Now, we also talked about this this release from jail. Now, is this what we have to look forward to now? Now, everybody being let out early, nobody's gonna serve no time. So, is Lil' R. Kelly gonna get part of his time serving, let him walk the street? What are we doing here? Now we talk, last week we talked about the lower level criminals. This week we're talking about any and everybody pretty much. Because if you're talking about rapists and all of these people and this man who murdered somebody 26 years ago, you're not holding back anything. What goes on in your mind now?
When you were saying that, I thought about, so everybody is just going to be free. So what's the purpose if you won't let them go anyway? Are we going to get to the place where that they not going to lock up nobody? And then I thought about, wow, they only coming out to do it again. And what about the victims? Because sometimes they're going to come back for you. They're going to come back for the jury, everybody on there. They'll come back, you know what I mean? So they're going to retaliate to whomever. And like you said, I've heard those stories where they only been out 1 or 2 days, and they did the same thing over again. So what is the purpose? Is that where we're getting to? Are you just building up from the little bit, like you said? Now you got some that got 25 years, 30 years is going to get out. And soon, what's it going to be? It's already a shootout with between them and the police. Every time you turn around, the police, you hear the police cars, you hear the shooting back and forth. Where are we going?
Yep. Absolutely. It really makes you wonder. You know, so are you going to take the taxpayers' time and you know, go through these trials, or are you going to now just let people out after they serve a certain amount of time? And what are you basing this on? Because they're really not basing it on much, not that I see. It's like, okay, so good behavior. What is good behavior for a rapist? How do you get to whether they have good behavior or not? That's not a good assessment. There's no real assessment there. I don't know.
Nope. And then also, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say this part as well. And then you also think of, well, if we know that they're not going to let them, we know that they're going to let them go. So the people are going to come up against and say, well, you know what? Now even more guns. So now I take matters in my own hands because they already saying that anyway. So now that you're giving them even more ammunition to be able to, I'll just do it myself. I'll just take care of that person who did whatever to my family member or to myself.
Yeah. This is some stuff to think about. And again, you're doing this stuff, and we don't have a say. There's no voting, you know, on these things. And stuff mm-hmm. like that. We just vote these people in. They come up internally with their stuff, and now we're supposed to support everything that they do. So we're going to be mm-hmm. in trouble real soon, Pastor Charlotte. We're going to be in more and more trouble because there are going to be more and more things that, you know, we're not going to have any say over. And we're going to mm-hmm. really find ourselves in these type of situations. All right, Pastor Charlie, you know, Pop-Tarts are for one thing, but I guess this guy is using it for another. He's sitting in your car. He starts an argument with this woman. He throws the Pop-Tart, sets the Pop-Tart box on fire. Are you literally carrying the Pop-Tart box with you? How do you get to the point where you go with this is your weapon? This is your weapon. You know, again, whatever I need. And you got a power cord. I'm looking at this here. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the article here, the news story. It says the victim was sitting in her vehicle when the man lit a Pop-Tart box on fire and threw it on her. He then wrapped a power cord around the woman's neck and began to strangle her. So you really walking around with a Pop-Tart box and a power cord. Needless to say, you had something on your mind. And is that, would you make that assumption?
Absolutely. He had a plan for that. Absolutely. And nowadays, remember now, it's summertime, people, and I don't understand why people do that, is be one person in the car, and they have all four windows down. Example.
Yep.
And then you stop at a light. Now, if you're on the highway, that's different. But if you're stopping at a light and you're given an opportunity for people who are able to jump in your car, or like you said, she's sitting, she could be parked, and you still have them open. So people walking up to the car doors. I had a friend, she was pregnant at the time. And she had her little baby with her as well. She was sitting in a cab. And when they stopped at a light, a man got in the cab on the other side and got in with her and wow. robbed her and the cab driver and got back out.
Wow.
The car, like nothing happened. So we don't be mindful of these things that can happen because, you know, we think, oh, well, it didn't happen to me. Until it happens to you is when now your antennas is up. People walk too close to your car. You'd be surprised. But he had an intent. And people now, because everything is mental issue. So now, because that's what they're going with, which I believe everybody ain't, but you got to be very careful. He had his mindset, whoever he was going to able to get.
Let me ask you this.
Because he was on the phone.
You never know. You never know. You just don't even know what she could have been doing. Let me ask you this question. And I'm going to ask our other panelists this question, too. Does it seem as though, I know we don't want to put everything on the mentally ill, does it seem as though all of a sudden the door was open and all the mentally ill people just was let out to walk the streets?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I live right across the street from the mental place. And they come out. And they don't come out to, when they let them out, a lot of times, it was an incident one time that they had let this guy out, for example. They had let them out, and it was so many of them that were standing around the same area where they let them out. So they was over there picking up garbage cans, setting it on fire. This is years ago now. But they set it on fire. They was throwing stuff in the street. They were screaming up and down. So the next day, there's a security that guard that sits over there. So the next day, I had went over there to him, and he said, well, because You know, they came out, they refused to take their medication, and it was okay. Because they said that even if they don't have them pinned down, if they don't want to take it, they don't have to. And when I mean pinned down, meaning that they put it in the IV, that's the only yes. ones that will. But if they choose not to, and in the summer, it's worse because they still don't take their medication or they skip days and they don't do anything about them.
Wow.
So now I know it's even worse. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I just had to ask that question because stuff is clearly a mentally ill individual, and some of these people will play mentally ill. So just thought I'd throw that question out there. Thank you so much for joining us today. Just so that Pastor KL can catch up on the storyline, we'll hit up Shantice first. So let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. You know, we're talking about this Highland Park shooting for a quick minute. And my question is, you know, in your head, do you think this is just going to be the norm? That when we're gathering and things like that, we can't see. Nobody's going to look up on top of a commercial building like where he was. But is this going to be our new norm? Just expecting to go into these crowds and not know if you're going to really come out okay. You're just going to be taking your chances through life now.
You know, last night, because I really didn't have any plans for the holiday weekend, and last night, you know, someone invited me out. And I was like, I don't feel like going anywhere, but maybe I should go. But every time I would like say that to myself, I kind of got the feeling more to just stay in. And I was like, you know what? I don't have to, you know, be out, especially for someone who was always out. You know, I don't have to be out. I understand it's a holiday weekend, but God spares, I have the whole summer, you know, to spontaneously or to schedule to go out somewhere. And I believe one of the reasons why I kept leaning more towards the stay home is maybe God was just saying, just, you know, kind of chill out, just stay in the house. And we were able to see the fireworks right from the living room. And I say all that to say that, you know, it's like God is really trying to protect, of course, everyone, but especially those who say, okay, God, I'm going to allow you to dictate my moves. Because unfortunately now, you can't go out, whether it's a small crowd, you and one other person, or a big crowd like they were. Unfortunately, you can't just go out with a peace of mind anymore. You know, a couple of months ago, I went to a gardening trip with my niece and her class, and I had to keep talking to God because I kept looking over at the gate and kind of off and on envisioning someone just walking by and just opening fire. You know, and I'm just like, it's sad that this is kind of the mental picture for some of us now, because this is what's happening. Like, you can't even go somewhere and not have these stupid thoughts, you know, pop in your mind and you be a little, you know, on guard or a little paranoid. So, unfortunately, this is the new norm. And, you know, it may cause for you to have a lot more intimate gatherings, you know, meaning like a holiday weekend, such as like maybe Memorial Day, what's the other one, Labor Day, something like that, where it's like, you know, if you're blessed to have a backyard or know someone with the backyard, then maybe that may be a little safer. You know, and sometimes you got to question that because the families be popping off on each other. It's crazy. But unfortunately, it is the new norm. And, you know, my advice would just to be give your life to God so you can be a lot more in tune with Him and the Holy Spirit so He can really dictate your moves. Because long go the days of us just, oh, it's 4th of July, let's go here, let's go there, let's go to this park and, you know, go to that park and just not have to worry about anything. There's no such thing as not having to worry about anything anymore.
Yeah, this is really become a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
It really looks like it just seems, especially with the gun laws not becoming more restrictive, or restrictive,
right.
it doesn't seem as though we're going to really be able to get away from certain things.
Right.
All right. So you and Pastor Charlotte have spoken about, you know, this drinking thing, and, you know, we've got this wedding. We're talking about not being able to go anywhere now. You've got this wedding where, you know, everybody's having a good time. You know, somebody who's been drinking, he's got these sparklers and he's dancing and everybody's admiring his great footwork. You know, think about it. Let me see that footwork. Think about that. Somebody's really doing his thing. And all of a sudden, something catches a fire. And now everybody's scattering, you know, yelling fire, fire, fire. And he continues to dance as though nothing happened. And this goes to just what you were saying. You would say even in the most intimate gatherings, still stuff is popping off. And here we are. What do you do at a wedding when somebody gets drunk and now they're dancing with some fireworks and now the fireworks set the place on fire? What in the world are we doing? He's still dancing.
Well, for one, I'm not watching you dancing no fireworks. Like, somebody going to have to, a few of y'all are going to have to get that from him. Because, you know, if you were a club person at any point, you've watched the bottle girls walk through the club with those sparklers to do bottle service. You know, that's part of the bottle service presentation. You have one girl carrying the ice, and you have another girl carrying the alcohol, the bottles of liquor, with the sparklers. And they have to be very careful. And they're sober. Well, some of them are. Let's talk about the sober ones real quick. They're sober for the most part. You still have to be very careful walking around with these sparklers. So as a sober, so now I'm sober, and I'm going to stand here and watch you. Then I don't care how good your footwork is. You're still drunk. You don't have all your faculties. I've seen sober people trip over their feet. Okay, so now this catching on fire and you being the drunk person still dancing is not surprising. But it was the responsibility of those of us who were not drinking. Okay, here, ha, 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 cute. Now let's get these sparklers away from him because this is about to be tragic. You can't just sit and let someone do that. Because now look what happened. So I hope y'all caught that on video, because I'm pretty sure there was a few cameras out before the fire started. Because it's like, oh, look at so-and-so drunk dancing with the sparklers. And now next thing you know, look at so-and-so drunk to set the wedding on fire. It's just, we can't sit around and let people do this stuff. Like, no. Mm-mm.
Absolutely. It was absolutely on video because they said per footage of the fiasco. So absolutely. You know, people are pulling out their cameras for everything, their phones for everything. So once he started dancing and he was doing this magnificent footwork, you know that was already caught on camera.
Exactly. Yeah.
You've got this fiasco caught on videotape, so... You know, I don't know. Like you said just a minute ago, nothing is private. Even the private things are really becoming questionable as you attend. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. Coming back to have more conversation. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts him. God bless you, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you very much. How are you, Pastor KL?
I am blessed and highly favored of God.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So we're talking about this Highland Park shooting where, you know, everybody got up nice and early. They took their babies, their lunch, you know, all their little video equipment and, you know, their water, and they're planning on having a good time, and they're, you know, they're positioned to watch the parade. They didn't got out to get the best spot possible only to have this interrupted by this madman shooter on top of the commercial building who kills 6 people and injures 36, and they say that of the 36 injured, the ages ranged from 8 to 85, randomly shooting. And, you know, my question this morning is, in your mind, is this the new norm? Do you have to now go out in the back of your head wondering if this is going to be a safe event?
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, this is the new norm. You know, we keep on talking about I got to protect my peace, but yet we keep on going out in these crowds. You've already putting your peace at risk when you go into these crowds. I think, you know, when we've given this title out so loosely of mentally unstable, you know, then, you know, it's almost like the freaks come out at night. Listen, when I was growing up, there was no ADHD. There was none of that. They say, sit your behind down, and you sat down. You could fidget in that seat if you want to, but you wasn't getting up. We've given titles to things, and we let it illuminate. We let it take life to it, you know, and I think that's the problem. You know, society has given titles to certain things, and now it's born. It lives. We've created these monsters. We've created these Frankenstein, you know. Back in our day, Frankenstein was laying down dormant. Now we've breathed it, and we've given it a name, and now people are running rampant with it. You know, and as long as you're saying or making excuses for it, people will do what they do. Because at the end of the day, they're going to say, well, he was mentally insane.
Wow. You know, think moving on that note of what you just said, you have this other story where this woman was just sitting in her car and a guy comes up, he lights a Pop-Tart box, throws it in the car, and then takes a power cord, puts it around her neck, and tries to strangle her. Would that constitute, in your opinion, as someone mentally ill? Because you're not walking the street with a Pop-Tart box and a lighter or matches for nothing. You are not walking with a power cord for nothing. Would you constitute that as somebody who they would easily say he's mentally ill?
He's unstable. Listen, growing up, my mother worked at a mental retardation institute, and they were what was called functioning retards. But at any point, you know, they can swing at you. You know, they can lose it. You know, I mean, these folks are functional retards. You know, somebody should have already seen his capability before they let him outside. You know, so, I mean, first of all, as you so clearly said, no one's walking around with a Pop-Tart box and an extension cord. That within itself is a sign for disaster. What do you do? What, you got to plug in the Pop-Tart? And so I'm just saying that we have issues already, and instead of people dealing with the people that have issues, because someone saw this, someone knew his capability, but no one said anything. One, because they were either afraid of what he might do to them, or two, they didn't want to get involved.
Right. Well, you know, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us today. You know, this takes me to an article that I had for quite some time. And I thought this was the perfect opportunity to bring it up. And it talks about how the pastor needs to protect his family. And if you look at it, part of it is saying from the church. You know, because when you go into the church, we've kind of touched on this before. You know, some of your, you know, you become a target. You and your family become a target of the church folks. And one of the things they say is you need to put, as a pastor, you need to protect your family from bitterness and gossip and problems of your home. Pastor Charlotte, what do you think about that? Just protecting your family from bitterness, gossip, and problems that are coming out of your home. Protect that from the church folks.
Right. We shouldn't, you talking about as far as us in our household not bringing it to the church. Am I correct?
Yeah, because you have, they're saying the premise is protecting your family against the church having that bitterness and gossip and being able to talk about the problems in your home.
Yes, yes, yes. Because a lot of times, you know, we have to be able to, how would they say, keep faith or something? I think that's the way they say it. Thank you. Thank you. Because it will allow them to be able to, manipulation can come in, also being able to talk about something that they don't even know about and add on to. So, yes, you have to be able to protect your family from that, you know, on or in, you know. That made me think of when you were saying it, I was wanted to make sure because it made me think of when my mama used to say, what goes on in this house, stay in this house. You don't take it out. You don't tell nobody, you know, because that's what people will use against you.
All right.
I thought of that as well.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL, what do you say about, you know, as a pastor, keeping, you know, protecting your family against bitterness, gossip, and people from talking about your problems in the home?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, some testimonies shouldn't be testified, you know, and, you know, we end up preaching our hurt over the pulpit. You know, we end up sounding off over the pulpit. And then, you know, there are people who are very clever. They can read between the lines. And now they know that you and your wife ain't getting along. You and the children not getting along. You know, it's no different from the people who go on Facebook and talk about their whole life story and then get upset when people are bashing you. Well, you told your story. You know, when you decide to open up, you know, you put yourself out there, you know, for ridicule. You know, so we have to be, and your family. So, you know, we have to be concerned about how we deal with the hurt that's on the inside, how we deal with the struggles that we have in our household. Because tomorrow it may be over for you as far as the hurt, but it still lingers on with the people.
All right, y'all bringing up some good stuff. Shantice, you know, you're not a pastor, but I always look at this like when Tamika's in the middle of Elder Nitesha and Pastor Kim, you know, she can speak from an outside perspective, you know, as far from what you see, from where you sit and look, you know, what would you say about the pastor protecting his family, you know, or her family, if you will, from bitterness, gossip, and the problems and knowing the problems in the home?
Well, I see it as if God has chosen you to be the pastor, meaning you're the head of this flock, it's because he's giving you things that the congregants do not have. No shade, but it is what it is. He's giving you more insight. He's giving you a level of maturity. He's giving you a deeper understanding of everything that consists of him. So you're then now going to go back to these deficient people and now share your business and expect what? For them to help you where they can't help themselves? So
wow.
It's like, so now you're stepping on the verse that says only a fool vents, because only a fool will stand up there and just blindly start telling their, you know, saying how they feel and their business without first thinking about what it is that you're ultimately doing. And now you're putting your information out there for a bunch of people who can't handle your information. They can't handle their own problems. But now you're going to share your problems with them and now put that on them. So now without thinking of it considering it first, you're now helping to put a burden on these very people who God has sent you to assist him with because they can't handle their own burden. So pastors have to be really, really careful.
Wow. Good point. They say, pastors, protect yourself from having to bow down to every crazy thought and idea that your people have that they feel you should be doing or not doing. Pastor KL.
Yeah, listen, everybody's not going to agree with what you're doing or what you're saying, you know, especially if you preach the sin that they're in. You know, once you preach the sin that they're in or they're stuck in, then now there's a problem. And a lot of them will be voiceless. You know, listen, a hit dog is going to bark or cry all the time. You know, sometimes we hit. You know, that's why, you know, the old folks say, well, if the shoe fits, wear it. You know, but you have to be at a point where you know that you are following God and you are speaking what God has instructed you to speak. And then let the chips fall where they may. Everybody is not going to celebrate you at all times. You know, once you hit their backyard or hit their home, the celebration days are over. And you got to be okay with it. You know, again, when you know that your steps are ordered by God and God is sending you in that place, then you just swing. And whoever it hits, baby.
All right. Shanti, you know, listen, pastors, don't be bowing down to every crazy thought and idea that the congregation has.
Again, God has sent you to be over this deficient group of people, whatever the deficiency is. So now you're going to allow the crazy people to dictate what goes on. Well, that's why they need the help, because they've been dictating long enough. And now they need someone over them to tell them that all the things they've been dictating over their lives just ain't been working. So now you sit back and you allow them to now have the leadership role, because that's exactly what ends up happening when you allow that. You allow them to have the leadership role, and it's like now you're shocked when things are completely out of control. It's because you've given them a place in the role that God has given you. So you can't be paying attention to what everyone says, because this one is saying, oh, I don't agree with this, and this one says, oh, I agree with that until, and this one says, well, I agree with it, but you shouldn't be the one doing all that. And listen. You'll allow them to help you drive yourself crazy. So, like it was said, just pay attention to what God has you doing. Pay attention to the strength and energy that he has given you, and don't pay these people any mind.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, protect yourself from bowing down to these folks in the church. They're crazy ideas, which you shouldn't be doing.
Absolutely not. Whom are you following? We must follow what God has said. We must continue to know that it is the Lord. People will make you fall in a hole, and people will make you miss what God is saying. If we listen to what everybody say, I'm a firm believer. What did the Lord say? If we get up there and preach like Pastor K.O. said, it ain't us. It's what God has us to say. If it's you, say ouch. If it's you, get it right. You cannot tell the pastor what to do. Listen, the Lord don't want no punk soldiers if he put in leadership. So therefore, you got to be able to stand. How I know is because when I was trying to be nice to everybody. And I was listening to everybody. And I had that familiar spirit where they got so familiar to where that they started leading me. And then one day the Lord said, hey, who did I put in this seat? And I struggled with that, back and forth with the Lord, because I didn't have nobody to guide me and to let me know how they slick talk you, and you before you know it, you there. So I can say I experienced that. And then once they was like, oh, my goodness, now you bold. Yes, what you used to could do, you can't do no more. Because I've learned how to stand on the Lord. So whatever God say, oh, well, sorry, because he hit us just like he hit y'all. So I had to let them know that the same way.
All right. I like this one. They say, pastors, protect your family as you don't allow them to discourage them from creating undue expectations of your wife or husband and your children. And I'm going to start with you, Pastor KL.
Okay, can you just repeat that again? It wasn't clear for me. I'm sorry.
Okay, so they say pastors discourage people from creating undue expectations for your spouse and your children.
Yeah, I've learned even from my wife. You know, we go to church and we go places, and they automatically want to call her co-pastor. That's an undue expectation. You know, God did not call her to be a pastor. You know, and even with my children, sometimes they, you know, I told the story before that people believe that because I could sing, that my son should be a choir director or should be the praise team leader. The boy can't sing. That's an undue expectation. You know, and sometimes people will try to push you into places that your character cannot sustain you. So you end up messing up the whole flock because of your desires. You know, sometimes your desires is not what God has for you to do. So stop pushing people in places that their calling is not. You know, say, make your calling an election sure. You know, understand what your calling is. And you in the audience can't tell me what God has called me to be. So stop pushing me and stop telling me that God has told you that my wife should be the co-pastor. Well, listen, if God ain't tell my wife or me, how are you the voice of reason?
All righty. Shantice, the word is pastors. Discourage people from creating undue expectations of your spouse and your children.
Yes, I just said it again. I think it was a few weeks ago. I don't remember who I was speaking to, but I was like, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, I grew up in church all my life. Great-grandmother was a pastor, always stayed in church every week. Now my mother is a pastor, and I did not grow up in one of those Greenleaf families. I did not grow up in, you know, those strict, you know, and whenever I tell someone, like, my great-grandmother was a pastor, you know, I'm sure it may come across at first like, oh, she must have been strict and everything. She was so down to earth, and, you know, there were certain things that I was able to share with her. I think if I had shared a lot of other things, she probably would have passed out. But there were some things that I was able to share with her that the average person wouldn't feel comfortable sharing with their grandmother at all. And I wish someone would let me overhear them saying, oh, well, Pastor Steph's daughters, because there's three of us, and all of us got some type of dysfunction. you know, Pastor Steph's daughters, you know, did this, and oh my goodness, and they're like, you are just as jacked up, if not more than me. Do not play yourself. Okay, yes, it would be a beautiful thought that Pastor Steph's daughters toe line and we're all in church every week and we, you know, faithfully serve the congregation and everything. It would be a great thought. However, the reality is that not every pastor's child is going to be in church. The reality is that we're not perfect. The reality is that sometimes the children's kids are the most jacked up ones. So with that being said, again, stop focusing on what you think to be the perfect picture for the first family. Meanwhile, God is revealing to you what you need to fix about you. And it's just way too much attention on other people, places, and things and other people's situations. So if you actually focused on your deficiencies and what God is exposing to you, because he will definitely expose you to you, then there wouldn't be time for this level of expectation for the pastor's family, whomever the family member is, whether it be a spouse, a child, nephew, niece, whomever, someone they're babysitting, whatever. There's just way too much put on them because it's like, well, when it comes to church, everything should be in line and everything should be perfect. The pastor's children are in church just like you for a reason. And this is like, focus on the right set of people, which is you and your family.
All right. They say, pastors, don't let domineering people decide your schedule. Wait, did I get that to that? Did I get that to Pastor Charlene?
No,
I don't think so.
Okay,
no.
I'm sorry. I just realized. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't get Pastor Charlene. Okay, Pastor Charlene. They say, you know, don't let these people, refuse to let these people, you know, say what your children and your spouse, you know, their expectations. Don't let them have these undue expectations for your people. What do you say?
Absolutely. I was laughing at Shantice because that's what my kids said. Why do these people think just because you the pastor that we going to change? Because my children come to church and they talk out loud when people do stuff. And I'll be like, shh, y'all can't do that. So they expect them to be one way. But my children, they know God. They love the Lord. But they ain't quiet. They will fight you in a minute. So when Shantice was saying that, I thought about my own kids. So I always say, listen, God takes God in God's time. God will have you be who he called you to be. So during that time, we cannot expect that other people of our family members, our spouses and our children, and I'm even going to the grands, are going to do what we do or be where we are. So some, like you say, will come to church, won't come to church, and sometimes I say, I don't think y'all want them to come anyway, because they're a little crazy, especially that big one. They're a little crazy. So.
All righty. Right. You might be protecting the church from your family. Ah.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I'll protect them. And they'll tell you. I've gotten up, and I had told them, because they had pushed my granddaughter one time had an incident with one of the people in the church. And for whatever reason, my daughter stopped, got my eye, and I had to come and see what she wanted. And she was like, this lady got one more time to beat this tambourine across my child.
Oh,
I'm going to turn this church upside down. I said, you know what? Y'all go on home so I can keep in the church.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Yeah, she let him know that y'all, that's not my mama. I am not my mama, so you better get it right.
Wow! Oh my goodness gracious! All right, we got this last one I'm going to talk about today, and they say
pastors. Don't let these domineering people decide your schedule. Shanti, I'm going to start with you.
Well, okay. Yeah, it's how do you think you can sit and tell the pastor? So it doesn't mean, it also doesn't mean, you know, not literally sitting down and saying, Pastor, you should do this, Pastor, you should do that. But also, whenever you need to speak to the pastor, if there's no consideration for, you know, what they may have to do, or if you know of all the things they have to do, you know, just try to be considerate as to when you go speak to them, you know, when you try to pull them to the side. You know, I know a lot of people can't really get in touch with their pastor outside of service, you know, outside of when they see them at church for the week. So it's like, just be a little considerate for, you know, their me time, their 5-minute me time they may have to take during that day, you know, your day of worship or whatever. But when you try to dictate their schedule, when you just bombard them, whether it's intentional or not, you know, whether your motive says, okay, this is what I'm going to do on purpose or not. But when you just bombard them with all your issues and, oh, Pastor, I have to talk to you, or, you know, Pastor, I think you should do this, or, you know, for those who are close to the pastor, I think you should take this speaking engagement, or I think you should take, you know, just give them a breather. You know, I, from what I've seen from the pastors that I know, there's very little me time, especially if these pastors have families, which most of them do. There's very, very, very little me time. So we have to really learn to be considerate of what they may need for themselves, you know, and let God tell them, okay, I know you need to take these 5 minutes, or you feel like you need to take these 5 minutes, but I need you to do that. Or I know you may want to do that, but I'm going to need you to have some you time. But there's just way too much, a lot of time, the people just pushing, you know, their issues onto the pastor, and whether you realize it or not, just by doing that, you are helping to dictate their time.
Okay, okay. Nice outside perspective. Pastor Charlotte, you know, they say pastors, listen, protect yourself from allowing these domineering people to dictate your schedule.
Absolutely. First of all, they think that we only have time just for them. And whatever they're going through, you're supposed to stop whatever you're doing and pick up that phone or spend that time in that moment with them. Like, we don't have a life of our own. You know, we don't have, and you're right, Shantis, we don't. We barely get 5 minutes sometimes, you know, don't even get to be able to breathe, you know, and they become too much. And I always say, well, did you pray first before you called me? Did you do this before you called me? Did you get your word before you called me? You know, you can't just depend on us. And, you know, and it's like, where's your faith at? You know, we are touch and agree, okay. But sometimes, you know, can I breathe for a minute? As soon as you walk in the building, it's like, oh, can you do, wait a minute, can I get my coat off? You know, so we do have to get to the place where that allow the pastor to take a minute, allow the pastor to be able to, as we say, woosah, you know, and everything, can you handle it yourself? You know, turn it over to the Lord. And we'll call you back when we get a minute. So don't get an attitude. And I hope some of them are on there. Don't get an attitude. You know, we sleep at night like you. We would like to. 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Can you give us a minute? Can we spend time with our, you know, our family too? Because y'all go away and y'all shut your phone off when we trying to get you. Oh, that was a moment. I'm sorry. I just want this shit. It might be on the line. I don't know who be on the line.
Oh, my goodness. Now that we allowed you an opportunity to vent. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
You know, it's like, listen, you know, you got to protect yourself from allowing these, you know, domineering people to dictate your schedule. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, first of all, you would think, you know, that some of these men and women have been in church all their lives, and they got to call you 2 o'clock in the morning for a breakthrough. You know, can you not pray for yourself? Do you not have a relationship with God yourself? And then you have some of these members who think that they are the only member in the church. So when Pookie goes to jail, they want you to go to jail with them. You go visit them in jail. When Shaquasha goes to the hospital, now you have to go to the hospital. You have to stop everything you're doing for them. And then they can't even come to the building for. They can't even come to Bible study. You know, we can't catch them at a meeting, but I'm supposed to stop my entire life because your bad behind child is now in jail for something that he did. And now you want me to pray him through that. Really? Go have a couple of seats.
Well. Well, thank you so much for giving us that snapshot. You know, we're talking about protecting people, and the pastors have to be protected, and they have to protect themselves. And I thought this was a nice segue into that today. And I think you've brought out some really, really pertinent and important points. Thank you so much for your contribution to this conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
You all do the same. Well. Thank you. Let's take this moment to go before the Lord as we hold hands and hold heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, oh God. You've been so good to us, better to us than we've been to ourselves. Thank you. Thank you for touching upon our life and just deciding that we should wake up today and that we're on this side of the grave. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you've protected us. Thank you for your protection. And the more we read this news, the more we realize how you protect us from the great things that could happen that could really hurt us, and just the little small little things that could help us, God. Your protective covering is over us entirely, and you shield us from so much, God. And we want to take this moment, God, to thank you. Thank you, God, for just looking over us, and even the things we don't see that you do, but you're there and you've got us in your protective barrier. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us and protecting us even when we've exposed ourselves to danger, even when we've put ourselves out there, even when we have been thoughtless and careless and we could care, you know, less about anything that goes on or the repercussions or the reverberation of things. But you, in your infinite wisdom, God, just continue to just hover over us and keep us in your ark of safety. Lord, we're just going to take this time to lift up every family that lost a member of their family to this sick crime at the parade yesterday. For those who are wounded, who were wounded, God, we pray that you just heal them. We pray that there's healing over that land of Highland Park and any extension there, you know, there may be. Lord, we ask you, God, to just cover everywhere. Just cover us, God. You know, it seems like this world has really just gone buck wild. And this is your way of your allowance is your way of calling us closer to you. So we pray, God, that today just more and more people just wake up realizing that they need a Savior, realizing that they cannot protect themselves. There's nothing we can do. We can't walk around here fearful where we don't do anything. Because we still must live. And your son said, I came to not just give life, but to give life more abundantly. So he was talking about all of this as well. So, Lord, we're not going to walk around in fear. We're going to walk around in confidence. We're going to be careful. We're going to be watchful. And we're going to pray. And we're asking you, God, to just, you know, as you always do, the rain covers the just as well as the unjust. But Lord, we pray that even you help this person with this sick mind. Thank you for helping
even the gentleman who threw the box at the woman and said that was on fire and put a cord around her neck, God. We ask you to just be with him. Touch his life, God. Lord, we're just asking you to just continue to watch out for us. That most times we're not even worthy of this thing here. And we ask you, God, to just help us draw closer to you. Just draw closer to you so that we can help ourselves be protected. Thank you for just introducing yourself to us in another way today. Thank you for, you know, just representing the kingdom so well that we don't have any complaints as to what you do or you don't do. We know there's always a plan. And we know as long as you have the plan, it is planned well. Thank you for everybody being able to come back here again today after being on an extended weekend. And you watched over each and every one of us. And we could come back to send that message to bless the lives of those who listen. And we will continue to give you the glory and the honor. So rightly do you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. There's so much to be said about protecting ourselves from the church. You know, sometimes as a pastor, the church can be your worst enemy. The congregation can be your worst enemy. I've heard some real horror stories. You know, we have our challenging moments. And, you know, a lot of times people don't think, you know, that it can really go down like that. People don't think that it goes down like that. You know, you really don't raise your hand and ask, you know, for this job. You don't aspire to necessarily be a pastor. But at the end of the day, it is the most gratifying experience and walk you'll ever take. To watch people's lives change as God uses you is amazing. However, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, I don't think people understand, you know, how your time means everything to you. I remember I used to say to God, why am I not sleeping? And I remember my grandmother never slept. You could call grandma at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30, 4:42. She'd be, good morning. I'm like, grandma, do you sleep? And, you know, I had to ask God, well, see, this is why I said no. Because I ain't sleeping. I'm not getting any sleep. And the Spirit of the Lord had to say to me, well, if you're up during the day and everybody's kind of pulling at you, when will he have time to deal with you? If you're available to everybody during the prime time of the day and night, then when will he have time to deal with you? You'll sleep, and not when you're dead. But he'll give you the proper rest. And it does not say for everybody to now elevate their amount of time that they, you know, call on the pastor. But it does help to say that God does protect us and watch out for us. But we do have to be very protective, you know, sometimes over our family members, as, you know, the most critical individuals will be the church members, you know. Why don't your kids do that? Or how come your wife or your husband doesn't do that? Or don't do that? And, you know, it's a constant eye on them. And you do have to cover them. Because, you know, at the end of the day, just like Shanti said, their church congregants, just like you are, they could be just as sick or sicker, you know, than you are. Remember my grandmother used to say, it's always my family. And it's true. It's like, if I could... the first two people to raise their voice and their opinion are my two. I'm like, why y'all just don't shut up? Don't get the people started. You know, they're very opinionated, and they do not hold back when it comes to, you know, voicing their opinions in the church. And you're like, yo, give me a break already, will you? And sometimes they just make you scratch your head. However, you know, that is not for the congregation to, you know, keep a standard. Yes, you know, as leaders, you want your family to represent well. But I tell you, the enemy really knows how to get you.
because those would be the people that turn up the most. Those would be the people who, you know, are always in something, or, you know, it is what it is, you know. And again, you know, their own spirit, their own flesh, as well as the enemy, you know, they keep the congregation humming. And, you know, the congregation has to also understand that regardless of whether you're a pastor or not, you're human. You have given birth to human beings. You have married another human. So even a husband can't necessarily all the time speak for what his wife may say, or vice versa. A wife can't speak for what her husband will say. You can't necessarily speak for what your children will say. You know, you can raise them and advise them and guide them and counsel them all you want to, but at the end of the day, these are independent people, and they will act independently. The same way you church folk act independently. And no matter how much, like Pastor Sharon said and Pastor KL said, no matter how much we advise you, you know, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm the first to say that a lot of times them 2, 3 o'clock in the morning phone calls come. Those distress calls come. Those SOS calls come from stuff that you've talked about already. Stuff that you have advised and counseled, and, I mean, you have given the best direction and route to take. But at the end of the day, because there was a different route that was taken, now the results are in. And now I have to live with your bad decisions because you need my help. And a lot of times, again, you know, those distress calls that the pastors just got finished talking about, they come from your disobedience or your feel of, you know, you could do things a different way and you thought it would work this way and you thought it would, and you're left scratching your head, and now you don't get sleep because, or you don't get rest, or you don't have time to spend, you know, with your family because you're dealing with these issues that actually had everybody taken the advice from God, which is where you get it from, as was said earlier, then none of us would be in distress right now. So, you know, it's a lot to do to protect yourself. It's a lot that you need to do to protect your family. And, you know, as Pastor KL said, you know, some testimonies don't need to be testified about. But, you know, on the other hand, you've got sometimes where the Lord will tell you to speak on something. And some people will throw that back at you. But there are, for the most part, if God has given you to release something that's on a more private level, the majority of the congregation will be blessed by it, and they will take and learn from it, not that other side, you know, that's critical and, you know, they're going to talk about you and gossip about you and, you know, really put your business out there. And I've had a few pastors tell me that they wish they hadn't said anything to people in the church that they thought they could trust. You know, so it's a hard spot to be in, a lonely place to be in a lot of the times, even with a husband or a wife. A lot of pastors complain about being lonely. So you know what? We have a job, and you have a job to protect us, and we have a job to protect ourselves as well as you. So keep those little things in mind, okay? You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time, as always. Thank you for hanging out with us today and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, or take this opportunity to deepen your relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life. where it's Wow Wednesday. I love you.